At Wildwood Community Church, we are for following Jesus together to the glory of God. We're for the church, for the community, for the nations, and for the next generation. To contact us or for more information, see our website at wildwoodchurch.org.
Now, as we have been talking a little bit about, and we're going to talk a little more about, our whole service today is built around the theme of gathering around the Lord's table. And so we're going to do something we do from time to time, and that is our whole service is about the Lord's table. And when we gather around the Lord's table, it is a special time. It is a holy time. And in some ways, I think it can be the zenith of worship, the summit of worship for us, those of us who are followers of Jesus. And so, as we talk about gathering around the Lord's table as a church family today, I want us to remember that gathering around the Lord's table is a call, it's an invitation to two things. It's a call and an invitation to celebration, and it's a call and an invitation to evaluation. And so we're going to spend a few minutes talking about those two elements. So first of all, we're going to talk about how it is a call and an invitation to celebration, where we celebrate what the Lord Jesus did for us. We celebrate the forgiveness that he has won on our behalf, where we celebrate the grace and the mercy that he has extended to us. And you know, we all need to be reminded that it is actually possible for a follower of Jesus to lose sight of what Jesus did for us. You know, it can actually happen where it's not in the forefront of our thinking. I mean, think about the last week or two. How much did you think about and contemplate what Jesus Christ did for you? This is a problem in the New Testament era. When Peter wrote his second letter to those believers, he was concerned that some of them were nearsighted, having forgotten that he was cleansed, the individual was cleansed from his former sins. It's possible for us to not have that at the forefront of our thinking. It's a problem potentially for me and for you. It was a problem in the New Testament era. It's a problem in the Old Testament era too. Oops. Just going back to Psalm 103, verse 2. The plea is, forget not all his benefits. Don't lose total consciousness of what he has done for us. That's what we want to celebrate. And so it's possible that we can suffer from, if you would like it worded this way, maybe spiritual amnesia, where what Christ did is not at the forefront of our thoughts, where we, maybe just the way we're living our life in a week, we just lose sight of his greatness, of his work. We fail to have a fresh appreciation and a fresh consciousness of what he's done on our behalf. And so one of the reasons we get around communion is to celebrate. I want to take us to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which is where Paul introduced communion to the Corinthian church. And so he says this, for I received from the Lord, he got the direction from the Lord directly, what I also delivered to you, believers, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. And then he goes on to say this, do this in remembrance of me. That's what Jesus was telling us to do. Do this in remembrance of me. And then in the same way, Paul goes on to say, also, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, relating what Jesus had said. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So part of what we do when we gather around the Lord's table is we want to remember the significance of Jesus' blood that was shed for you and me. So one of the ways we're going to do that together is just to survey through some of the verses in the New Testament that talk about what Jesus did when he shed his blood for us. First verse we're going to look at is Ephesians 1:7. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And I often like to say this, knowing you are forgiven is the most wonderful thing in all of the world. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. He, Jesus, made peace by the blood of his cross. Peace came between us and a holy God because of what Jesus did on our behalf. Romans 5, 9. We have now been justified by his blood. This is just an amazing statement. Justified means to be declared righteous. And what happened because of his blood that was shed is that his righteousness, this just blows my mind, his righteousness and all that it was credited into my account. What an incredible thing. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. We are freed from our sins. And then 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. All sin. We need to celebrate that he took my place. He took your place. We want to celebrate that he gave his life for me, gave his life for you. Many of you never had the opportunity to meet my dad. My dad died of lung cancer and emphysema. Emphysema is really lung shutdown. All of that attributed to the fact he smoked all of his adult life, starting when he first went into the Army in World War II. So I want you to just imagine this. Notice my dad, he's dying of lung cancer, he's dying of emphysema, lung shutdown. And just imagine with me if there was one person who had perfectly healthy lungs, and that person said to my dad, I'm going to exchange my healthy lungs for yours. Well, what would be the outcome of all of that if that actually happened? Well, the donor would have died so that my dad could live. That person would have effectively died in my dad's place. And ultimately, on a far, far, far greater scale, Jesus took our place and gave his life for us so that we could live forever. So when we talk about gathering around the Lord's table, we want to be thinking this celebratory thought. He gave his life for me. And just quietly to yourself, you may want to say that. He gave his life for me. In Titus chapter 3, verse 3, Paul says, we were once foolish, we were once disobedient, we were once deceived, we were once enslaved. We were once foolish, we were spiritually ignorant. Maybe you can remember that time in your life when that was true of you. We were disobedient, we had violated God's standards. We were deceived, we were victims of the enemy and the world system. We were enslaved to our passions and our pleasures. But Paul doesn't end with that statement. He goes on to say this in the next verse. But God, our Savior, saved us. Wow. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. We are to never forget, to never lose sight of the wonder of what he has done for us. All of that reminds me of a song that was written by Charles Wesley. And it was written in 1739. You may not know it, but Charles Wesley wrote this on the first anniversary of his conversion to Christ. So just think about The first anniversary of trusting Christ as your Savior from sin and judgment, he sat down and he wrote this song. And I would just like to suggest maybe you just close your eyes, because I'm going to read the lyrics of this song. And I just want you to sort of sense you're writing this song on the first anniversary of your trusting in Christ. Here's what Charles Wesley wrote. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears. 'Tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. My gracious master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. So one reason why we gather around the Lord's table together is to celebrate, is to say, Jesus' direction was, do this in remembrance of me. The intent of that was for us to take time to basically say this: I cannot believe that he called me to have a seat at his table. That's amazing. It's amazing. So we are to celebrate. As we gather around the Lord's table, it's a call and invitation to celebrate, to do this in remembrance of me. But it's also a call and an invitation for evaluation, for there to be some reflection and some confession and some restoration. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, when Paul was describing the whole process of the Lord's table to those believers, he says this, he says, let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. There should be some evaluation where we do a little personal spiritual evaluation and we come to some kind of conclusion. We take enough time to do that. Is my heart where it should be? Who have I been living for recently? You know, in this service, we're taking the whole service around communion. A lot of times we don't have that much time, but we ought to be remembering this is an important part. When you know that communion's coming up, we should have some time of evaluation before we come to the table of the Lord. See, it's very easy to reduce communion to a mechanical event, a mere ritual, but we are to do a little reflection, a little evaluation. We need to reflect on our current spiritual condition before the Lord. There just needs to be some honest acknowledgement. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, and there's probably some we've been wrestling with, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anything left out of all unrighteousness? Not at all. See, this idea that there should be some evaluation around the Lord's table is just a principle that's been true throughout the ages. Lamentations 3:40. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. What Jeremiah said. There just needs to be some time in which we pause to do that. And I love the passage in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. This is David. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me. I like the way the New Living Translation translates that last phrase. Point out anything in me that offends you. When's the last time we just asked God, point out anything in me that offends you? And he goes on to say, and lead me in the everlasting way. Should be some evaluation. Now, that doesn't mean obsessive introspection. We're just overly doing all of this. That's not what it's about. It just simply means pausing to make an honest assessment. To say things to yourself like, have my attitudes and actions been open to the loving scrutiny of the Holy Spirit? Have I even taken time to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me? Does my heart need to be realigned to Jesus in some way? Now, the truth be, men and women, all of us can drift spiritually. Yes, I mean all of us. That means the pastoral staff can drift spiritually. That means our elders can drift spiritually. And so maybe that's taking place in our life. So we take time for some evaluation. Maybe you've been really struggling with some pride and arrogance. Maybe you've been harboring bitterness and resentment. Maybe in your life there are some sexual issues that are way out of bounds. Maybe there's been disobedience and rebellion towards parents. Maybe there's been some deceitfulness, some cheating, some stealing that we've been rationalizing. Maybe there's just some deception. You're not really who you present yourself to be. Maybe there's been outbursts of anger and there's been harshness that's come out of your mouth. Maybe there's been gossip. You've been critical of other people, talking down people, social media out of control. Maybe we have been resisting the Holy Spirit's leading in our life. We know we've been resisting it. We need to evaluate, who have I really been living for? Really. We need to give God access to any dark corners, any hidden rooms in our life. We need to open up our heart to the loving scrutiny of the Holy Spirit. We are going to be gathering around the Lord's table. So vitally important that we celebrate and we evaluate. Let me just pray. Father, we would pray for every one of us here that we would be careful, very, very careful, to open our hearts before you as we gather around the Lord's table. May, for every person here who knows you, this truly be a time of celebration and evaluation. We ask that to be so, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.